Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. You know, we all make lists. At least I think we do. Well, today we're diving into the psychology behind them and exploring why this seemingly simple act can be so powerful, like how you can actually use list making to unlock some genuine productivity and satisfaction.
That's a great point.
So we're going to be looking at excerpts from The Psychology and Power of Making Lists today.
Oh, cool.
And yeah.
It's funny, you know, like even those of us who swear that they just remember everything are probably relying on some kind of mental list without realizing it, right?
Right.
Our brains just aren't designed to juggle like endless tasks.
Right.
So let's see how like externalizing them can actually help.
You know, what's so fascinating is that list making isn't some new productivity hack. It's something that is really rooted in ancient history.
Really?
Yeah. The source mentions lists dating back to Mesopotamia, around like 3100 to 3000 BCE.
Wow.
It's hard to imagine. Even then, people were using lists to organize their knowledge, manage resources, and like document historical events. That's wild. It really highlights how like fundamental this need is to just categorize and structure information, you know, no matter what era you're in. But let's fast forward to today where, you know, we're constantly bombarded with information, emails, social media. You've got work projects, you've got family commitments. It's easy to see why people feel overwhelmed.
Totally. And that's where the power of list making really comes in.
Mm.
You know, when you're getting things out of your head and onto paper, you're essentially reducing your cognitive load.
Mm.
So instead of trying to remember every single thing, you free up mental space to actually focus on doing those tasks.
Oh, that makes so much sense. It's like hitting save on your brain.
Yeah.
It gives you the breathing room to actually get things done.
Yeah.
How does this connect to something like the Eisenhower Matrix, which the source mentions as a decision-making tool?
So the Eisenhower Matrix, you know, that's a fantastic way to really prioritize tasks, which goes hand in hand with list making.
Hmm.
It basically divides tasks into these four quadrants based on urgency and importance. So you'll have things that are urgent and important. You'll have things that are important but not urgent, and so on. And by kind of plotting your tasks on this matrix, you can really start to see what truly needs your immediate attention and what can maybe be delegated or scheduled for later.
So you're not just like mindlessly jotting things down. You're actually making strategic decisions about how to allocate your time and energy.
Exactly.
That's where I think the connection to goal setting theory comes in, right?
Absolutely. Like, remember that feeling when you set a huge goal and it just seems daunting?
Oh, yeah.
Lists can really help you break it down into these smaller, more actionable steps.
Oh, okay.
Each item on your list becomes like a mini goal. And as you check them off, you get that sense of progress and that motivation to keep going.
Right. And that's where chunking comes in too, right?
Yes.
The source mentions it briefly as a way to improve data retention and comprehension.
Exactly. Think about if you had to memorize this long string of numbers. It'd be really overwhelming. But if you break those numbers into smaller chunks, like phone numbers, it becomes a lot easier to manage. And the same principle applies to lists. When you group similar tasks together, you're essentially chunking information, making it much easier for your brain to process and remember.
Okay, so we've talked about how lists can kind of reduce that mental clutter, help us prioritize. But let's get to the fun part, like the emotional and psychological satisfaction of list making. I mean, who doesn't love that feeling of checking things off, right?
Oh, there's a scientific reason for that, believe it or not.
What?
It's called the Zeigarnik effect.
Yeah.
Essentially, our brains, they tend to fixate on those unfinished tasks, creating mental tension. But when you check something off your list, you're actually signaling to your brain that the task is complete, which releases that tension and gives you this little dopamine rush.
Wow.
And that, you know, creates this positive feedback loop that motivates you to keep going.
It's like you're giving your brain a little reward for a job well done.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a world that can feel so chaotic and unpredictable, that sense of control can be invaluable. The source also mentions how list making can even be a coping mechanism for anxiety, which I think a lot of people can relate to.
Absolutely. By organizing tasks, you're gaining a sense of agency. Mm-hmm. So instead of feeling overwhelmed by this mountain of to-dos, you're taking charge. You're creating a plan of attack. And this can be really helpful for people who are, you know, prone to feeling anxious or overwhelmed.
That's a great point. It's like you're imposing order on the chaos.
Yes.
Which can be so calming and empowering too. But it's not just about like individual peace of mind, is it? Lists can also play a role in our social and behavioral interactions.
Yeah, you're right. Think about how lists impact our work with others.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like shared lists, like Kanban boards. Those are fantastic for team projects.
Oh.
They create this transparency, allowing everyone to see the progress, identify bottlenecks, and really understand where their contributions fit in.
It's like a visual roadmap for a team.
Yes.
Helping everyone stay on the same page and work together more effectively.
Exactly.
But even on an individual level, list making can promote self-accountability. It's like documenting your intentions.
Yes.
Making a commitment to yourself.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is the connection to self-regulation.
Okay.
The source mentions how keeping old lists actually enables self-auditing.
Oh, interesting.
So you can look back and see what you've accomplished, identify patterns in your behavior, and even spot areas where you might need to kind of adjust your approach.
Yeah.
It's like having a record of your progress and a tool for continuous improvement.
That's so insightful. It's like those old lists become this valuable source of data about your own productivity and your own habits.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic for a second. We've all had those moments where our lists feel more like a burden than a help. The source actually mentions a dark side to list making. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. While lists can be really powerful tools for productivity and organization, there is kind of a potential downside we need to be aware of.
Okay.
One thing the source highlights is that, like, over-reliance on lists can stifle spontaneity and creativity.
That makes sense. Like, if you're constantly so focused on checking things off a list, you might miss out on opportunities to explore new ideas or, like, embrace unexpected detours.
Right.
It's almost like you're limiting your own potential by, like, sticking too rigidly to a predetermined plan.
Exactly. There's a need for balance. You know, lists should guide us, not dictate our every move. We need to leave space for those, like, moments of inspiration, those bursts of creativity that often lead to the most rewarding experiences. The source even mentions this humorous anecdote about adding rewrite lists to the list, like a sign that you need to step back and reassess.
I love that. It's a reminder not to take our lists too seriously.
Yeah.
They're tools to serve us, not the other way around.
Right.
But what about that feeling of getting so caught up in, like, organizing and perfecting our lists that we actually procrastinate on the tasks themselves? The source calls it productive procrastination, which I think is brilliant.
Oh, it's a trap so many of us fall into. We create these elaborate lists, we color code them, categorize them, and we feel this sense of accomplishment, but all the while, we're avoiding the actual work that needs to be done.
Right.
You know, it's a subtle form of self-sabotage, really.
Yeah, I've definitely been there. It's like tricking yourself into feeling productive without actually making any real progress.
Exactly.
And speaking of things that can hold us back, the source also talks about decision fatigue, especially when faced with these never-ending to-do lists.
Decision fatigue is a real phenomenon. When you're constantly bombarded with choices, even small ones, it can really deplete your mental energy and make it difficult to make, you know, clear, effective decisions. Long to-do lists can exacerbate this because you're constantly having to decide, okay, what do I tackle next? And this can lead to procrastination and a sense of overwhelm.
It's like your brain just hits a wall and says, I can't make another decision today.
Exactly.
So how do we find that sweet spot? How do we harness the power of lists without becoming enslaved by them or falling into these traps?
The key is to use lists mindfully and intentionally. The source offers some excellent advice on effective list making. For starters, keep your lists short and focused. Instead of trying to cram everything into one giant list, prioritize the 3 to 5 most impactful items for each day.
It's about quality over quantity.
Yes.
Focusing on those tasks that will really move the needle instead of getting bogged down in a sea of, you know, trivial to-dos.
Exactly. And remember, the 80-20 rule. Often 20% of our efforts produce 80% of our results. So identify those high-impact tasks and make them your priority.
That's a great reminder to be strategic about our list making.
Yeah.
But what about flexibility? We all know life rarely goes according to plan, so how do we account for that in our lists?
Flexibility is crucial. Don't let your list become a rigid dictator. You know, build in some wiggle room for unexpected tasks or changes in priorities. If something comes up that requires your immediate attention, don't be afraid to adjust your list accordingly.
It's about using lists as a guide, not a set of shackles, right? We need to be able to adapt and flow with the inevitable curveballs life throws our way.
Absolutely. And another important tip is to review your lists regularly. If a task keeps getting pushed to the next day, week, or month, it might be time to question its relevance.
Right.
Is it truly important, or are you holding on to it out of some sort of obligation or guilt?
That's a great point. Sometimes we need to let go of tasks that are no longer serving us. It's about being honest with ourselves and prioritizing what truly matters.
Precisely. And remember, lists are tools to support your thinking, not replace it. Don't let them become a crutch that prevents you from engaging in deeper reflection, problem solving, or creative exploration.
That's so true. Lists can help us stay organized and focused, but they shouldn't dictate the entirety of our lives or stifle our ability to think critically and creatively. It's all about finding that balance, as we've been saying.
You've hit the nail on the head. And as we've been discussing all these benefits and potential pitfalls of list making, I can't help but notice a bigger trend at play here.
Oh, okay. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. What are you noticing?
Well, it seems like list making has become more than just a personal productivity technique.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a cultural phenomenon, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Everyone's obsessed with bullet journals, productivity apps, finding the perfect list making system.
You're absolutely right. It's everywhere we look, and it makes me wonder if this obsession, if we can call it that, is somehow connected to the increasing complexity and uncertainty of the world around us.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought that maybe our need for lists comes from like this desire for order in a world that can feel chaotic and unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, we're constantly bombarded with information, deadlines, demands on our attention. Maybe list making is just a way to create some sense of control in the middle of all the noise.
It's a really compelling idea. And if lists do offer a sense of control and reduce anxiety, as the source suggests, then maybe this like surge in list making is just us reflecting our need to cope with the pressures of modern life.
Almost like a way to impose some structure on a world that, you know, can often feel overwhelming and out of our hands.
Right.
But it also makes you wonder if there's a point where this like pursuit of perfect organization becomes counterproductive.
Yeah.
Are we becoming too reliant on lists as a coping mechanism? Those are important questions to consider. And while we might not have all the answers, it's clear that our relationship with lists is a lot more nuanced than we might think.
Right.
You know, it's not just about productivity. It's about how we navigate complexity and manage our emotional responses to the world around us.
So how do we strike that balance? How do we use lists effectively without letting them, you know, control us or limit our potential for spontaneity and creativity?
The source really emphasizes the importance of mindfulness. You know, pay attention to how you feel when you're creating and using your lists. Are they helping you feel more organized and in control, or are they contributing to feelings of anxiety and overwhelm? Your emotional response is a really good indicator of whether your system is serving you well or not.
It's not just about checking things off, but also about checking in with ourselves.
Yeah.
Are we using lists in a way that actually aligns with our values, our goals, and our overall well-being?
Exactly. And that brings us right back to the core message of the source. You know, balance is key. Lists can be so helpful for managing our time, our responsibilities, but they really shouldn't dictate every aspect of our lives. There has to be space for spontaneity, for those unexpected moments of joy and inspiration that often lead to the most fulfilling experiences.
It's about remembering that lists are tools, not masters. They should serve our needs, not the other way around.
Well said. And as we wrap up our deep dive into the psychology and power of making lists, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder.
Okay, I'm all ears.
If lists can offer a sense of control and reduce anxiety like we've been talking about, could there be a connection between, you know, our modern obsession with list making and this increasing complexity and uncertainty of the world around us?
That's a powerful question to leave our listeners with. It really suggests that our relationship with lists might be a reflection of something much deeper, you know, our yearning for order in a world that can often feel chaotic and unpredictable.
Precisely. And by understanding, you know, those psychological forces at play, we can use lists more consciously and intentionally. Not just to manage our tasks, but also to navigate, you know, the complexities of modern life with more clarity, purpose, and well-being.
It's a good reminder that even something as, you know, seemingly mundane as a to-do list can hold these really profound insights into the human experience. So to all our listeners out there, keep making those lists, but do so with awareness, intention, and a healthy dose of self-compassion. And remember, sometimes the most important things in life can't be captured on any list. Happy listing, everyone.